Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. Just a brief message. Just wanted to apologize. The content was a little slow to come out this last couple weeks, and we missed an episode. I had some personal family stuff going on, and yeah, it just kind of went out of control a little bit, but I'm happy to be back. I hope you guys are all staying safe out there. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today. The election, COVID, all that stuff, and I don't want to make this a platform to talk about that stuff, but just you guys stay safe out there. Make sure you follow the CDC guidelines. Stay in a little bit. You know, there's tons of new games coming out. If they haven't already come out, we have Cyberpunk coming up, and we have a new Gwent expansion coming out, which is just fantastic. So also want to thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Just make sure you hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. If you like the content, head over to your fellow streamers. And without further ado, guys, we're just kind of talking about some random stuff. So let's do it.
Miles of fire, I'm losing ground, and in the flashing, my world comes crashing down. I'm left in nowhere, no place to hide.
Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. A little smaller crew today, but there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. We have Ezra and Jay Conrad, both. You know, Ezra's been on here since the beginning. Jay Conrad's popped in and out here and there, so glad to have everybody back. So what's up, guys?
How's it going?
Let's talk about Conrad getting affiliate this week. Another lifetime Twitch goal done.
Who got affiliate this week?
Conrad.
I did. It's actually a really funny story. I was not even at my computer when it happened. I was streaming, and I took I literally checked Twitch, and I was like, okay, there's nobody usually you can go through the titles and see who speaks English, and it's like, well, all these streamers aren't they don't speak English, so none of them are probably going to host me, because if you don't speak English, you're probably not going to host an English speaking streamer. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I'll take a 5-10 minute break. And I left and I came back and somebody hosted me with 15 to 20 viewers. I can't remember exactly, but that's what pushed me over the edge and I got to affiliate. So it was kind of funny because I was like, yeah, there's no way that's going to happen. I'm just going to be here by myself. And yeah, look, you never know what can happen. So,
well, congrats, dude. That is as awesome. I remember one time I got hosted and I was away on a break. And I came back, and I was like, oh, my God.
I think I was actually in that.
Wasn't that the one where you got raided by Oceanbug?
That was the one. It was not Rasheed, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Oceanbug.
Dude, thank you so much for the host. I'm sorry I wasn't here.
I hate that when you're you get raided, and it's, literally, 5 minutes before you were going to go, use the bathroom or something. Yep. Or, get another drink. So it's like, hey, guys, I'll be right back. And it's the worst. It always happens at the worst time, but you love it when it happens.
Or you're like, all right, guys, it's been fun. Host of 50. You're like, okay, let's get back to work. let's keep playing.
Yeah, if only raids could happen when we wanted them to happen. Right.
But yeah, that's awesome. So we don't really have a topic. I think the last episode we were kind of the same thing. We were kind of let's just call it random shit and let's just talk about random shit. So I think we're kind of at that. again, I don't know if it's because just the lack of the changes or we just don't have as much to talk about. So I think I'll let it go. Like, we were talking about maybe talking about some decks you guys are seeing a ton of. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the one thing that we can talk about is, like, we're excited for the fact that the new expansion is coming. We know for a fact it will be here by end of the year. And we know we're getting new cards. We're getting possibly a new faction, maybe. Or not maybe a new faction, maybe a new support for an already existing archetype. Like, the rumors are that Witchers or Mages will be the supported faction. Or an archetype that's going to get a heavy amount of support. Just based off the lore that the Journey's given us so far, it looks like that may be the case. You know, we have Alzira as the featured character in the Journey this time around. It's not your typical Ciri or Triss. So, I mean, it's only speculation, but, like, I feel like with what Journey has given us so far, there's a lot to go off of. Knowing that we're going to have something nice in store. You know, they've never disappointed with an expansion so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love how, like, Alzor, I just finished the Witcher, like, the book series for the first time, and he's not really, like, he's kind of like a background character. And, like, lore, like, I love how this game, like, dives into the lore, and, like, I... Like, he's not in the games, really. So, like, I just think it's really neat that they're not just sticking with, like, the main characters, and they're willing to branch out and explore a little bit with this new journey.
Yeah, I definitely like the journey. That's one of my favorite parts about the game. I was kind of bummed I didn't finish it all last time, or last season. I gotta make sure it doesn't happen again. But, yeah, it's incredibly rewarding, and there's really cool stuff in this one, too. I like some of the avatars that are... that they got. It's pretty cool. The Ciri one was one of my favorites too. So I mean, I think a lot of it with the game right now is I'm little disappointed in the game. I don't see as much stuff coming out to kind of keep it as active. I don't see as many, like, YouTube videos on Gwent right now, not as many streamers playing it, and I don't know if that's just a byproduct of so much stuff coming out. Or if it's just people are kind of moving over to other games and trying some other stuff out. What do you guys think?
I feel like it's just, we're at that point where, like, we want new stuff to happen, and we're just trying to find ways to fill that gap. You know, we have Assassin's Creed Valhalla that just dropped today. You know, everybody's been playing that since midnight of last night. And then we had... This is totally off topic, but we had Destiny 2 Beyond Light DLC happen today as well. So that was huge. I saw Destiny had over 190,000 viewers, which is nuts. I've never seen that many people in Destiny before. So I guess this DLC was very anticipated.
Yeah, I think it just... This is a game where it ebbs and it flows. Like, over the last, like, 4 months, like, there would literally be tweaks and changes to the game where it was like you had to create a new deck guide because old decks wouldn't work. And then now we go into a new month where, you know, like, there wasn't a lot of changes. Like, yeah, they introduced a new journey, but there wasn't anything, like, they didn't nerf or buff any cards that would really change the playstyle. So I think until we see a new faction, or excuse me, a new DLC, it's going to, like, I'm not saying the game is losing interest, but, like, there's no reason for, like, popular streamers or YouTubers to make any more, like, new content, because there isn't really, like, it's the same as it was a month ago, and their guides will still work from a month ago. So I think that might be why, like, you might see, like, a slowdown of Gwent content, just because they're basically playing the same game they were a month ago, and there were no changes.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm looking at, like, some of the decks that are being thrown around. You get new people coming to the game, and they're starting to play the decks, and I'm just like, man, that deck's 3 years old, 2 years old, not that old, but you know what I mean. Like, it's mechanics that were worked so much before are coming back out, and people are just kind of recycling the same decks. So I'm hoping, you know, we can find some more stuff, and I think if introduced, like you said, some new cards, if we get, you know, a new expansion soon, I think that would be really good. Because we're mainly seeing what we're seeing: overwhelming hunger, of course, is one of the big decks right now. Shield Wall is still all over the place with the Visigoda build. You know, you're seeing dwarves we were talking about are coming back. So that was relatively refreshing to see that. What else have you guys seen?
Still a lot of Nature's Gift out there.
Yeah, a lot of Nature's Gift.
Stand.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen enough Congregate. I feel like that's the most overplayed deck right now. Everybody's running it because it never seems to fail in a short round or a long round. Like, it has answers for everything. You don't really have to worry about removal from coming from it. It's got, you know, a few of the crimes, but, like, it's more of, I play my cards and you do your thing. You can take out my tokens, but that's fine. I'll bring back more. It's not a big deal. It's like, they just play their game. You know, you play your deck and that's it. You don't have to worry about what your opponent throws out on you most of the time.
Kind of like when you play monsters, it's like you just point, slam, throw everything down. It's not as much reacting. It's just it's more about getting as much points on the board. So I don't have a problem seeing Congregate, to be honest. I mean, I like to see Syndicate decks just because it's one of the most underplayed factions. So I'm happy people are kind of moving into that faction a little bit more. I definitely prefer that over somebody playing like Skellige or, I guess you could probably say monsters, but like it's just nice to see, you know, that getting some love and some other decks coming in. And the dwarves deck, that's awesome. I love seeing the dwarves. It's a nice little refreshing thing where I'm not like, okay, I'm playing against the exact same deck every time.
Yeah, speaking of dwarves, they actually got their spotlight with this season being called Season of the Mahakam. So that's our newest seasonal name so far. And they also are the featured seasonal event as well. The entrenched game mode gives every unit resilience. What a time to play some really big cards.
It's fun. It's interesting how it's about playing a lot of the purify all, you know, units on this row or purify everything on the board and kind of balancing getting last say and what cards you're going to use resilience and stuff like that. Cause you know, resilience doesn't carry over the boost to a unit. But, you know, if you play it correctly, you can pretty much win round one and go into round two with a lot of stuff. Or, you know, let's say you purify everything on the board, you can go into round two with, like, at least a five-point card. So,
yeah, Siegfried's got to be, like, really powerful for that entrenched mode. Purify all other units like that. you could easily win a game with that.
Well, I was putting it in my decks, and I was like, it doesn't really make any sense. It doesn't work. And then I actually took the time and thought about it and did it, and I was like, okay, yeah, this works. Like, you just have to play it at the right time, you know?
Yeah, I just learned just now because I was doing my journey challenges right before we started. And don't turn monsters in resilience, by the way. It's not a good idea. I said, don't try the monsters with resilience. It's not a good idea. Yiggern, horrible idea. I was like, Yiggern's going to play for massive points. And then round two starts, he loses all armor, so he dies.
Yep.
I was like, oh, okay. my five head moment did not pan out well.
Big brain time.
Yeah. I think when we were talking about like the seasonal mode, I think is really there to make the game stay refreshing and to change it up. And I've actually seen myself playing more of the seasonal modes, mainly because it's more refreshing. I'm not playing against the same decks. And I think I talked about on a podcast before, I think that's what makes Hearthstone so big and so many people continue to play it, is that they have Arena. And Arena is a big part of that game, or at least was when I used to play it. I think that's what Gwent needs. I think it needs another thing besides ranked, you know, to make things changed up. You know, what do you guys think?
I think that was what they tried to do with Draft. You know, because they said it's very similar to Hearthstone and all that. In the terms of, like, the build or the concept of it, you know, it's just meant there to cater to the new players, help them understand the game, help them know what combos to play or what cards work together. But, like, as for, like, mechanics-wise, it's a little busted when you can play one simple card and you have five other copies of it sitting in your deck, you know. Like, I played one game, I think a few days ago, where a guy played seven copies of Sewer Raiders. and he literally just had two coins. You know, he had cash as his leader, and he played Sewer Raiders, and he pulled out a like 30-point play with just a single card. I'm just like, okay, this is not fun.
Yeah, but that's refreshing in my opinion. It's just different. It's like it's unexpected. It's like when I'm playing now, it's like I know exactly what card they're gonna play, or at least an idea of how they're gonna play that deck. What I need to look out for. I don't know.
I think that not only did that make me salty. I think it was getting time six cambied in back to back rounds. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know my opinion on draft because I do not like it. But there is a part of me, like, I like watching Gwent for, like, the ranked mode. But, like, I really love seeing, like, those crazy, like, meme plays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where, like, someone uses Campy or, like, Kel'Thuas being played first and then killing itself. Yeah. Like, I think draft, like, tried to do that and kind of fell short. So I wish like Arena and Draft were more popular with bigger streamers.
Yeah.
And I feel like they tried to make it like a fun mode of Gwent because like let's be honest, all people play is ranked. Like nobody streams unranked Gwent. But I feel like they fell short just a little bit. Like it's not as I don't know. It's not as randomized and like you can get lucky as Arena was. So I'm just not a fan.
I think they're definitely working on it too. They even said that they, you know, were introducing it to kind of get an idea how it works. So hopefully it gets changed, but yeah.
Yeah. And so, I hope more streamers pick it up because it's like, it's fun to watch like your favorite streamer or your favorite YouTuber, like just try and get to pro and like stay in pro, but it's also, like, I love seeing, like, those weird plays or those cards that, like, never get used, so.
Well, I was talking I don't know if it was Freddie Babe's original concept when he came out with that Kel'Thuas deck, you know. I had the most fun I've had playing Gwent in a long time because it was just so stupid. And, like, it didn't really work all the time, but when it worked, it was just amazing, you know. And that's what I really miss about the game, I think, is that concept of like everyone's not playing just kind of like the exact same decks, which kind of drives me a little bit crazy about ranked, but like coming up with stuff that's just completely off the wall, like that Master Mirror meme deck, which would just play, you know, a gold every single time, you know, and it was just always random, which was even funnier. So like he just didn't know what was going to happen. So yeah.
You know, speaking of fun decks, I think you would probably have fun because with this one that I'm seeing on YouTube, and I saw it today's by the ever popular Fuchsia Briefs. Yep.
Oh, his decks are fantastic.
He uploaded another one, a lockdown Era Hawk Box. I don't know how you say the name correctly.
Okay.
Horse looking card. And he basically has Sianna with it. and that Era Hawk Box and does like a double, you know, pull from their deck. And it will pull their best cards if they have not drawn them yet. He was able to play against Congregate and actually destroyed Congregate with it. And he pulled their jocks. He pulled their jocks and he pulled their Helvi in the same round after they had already passed. And then they lost because they only had like a 6-point disarray in hand. And then they had one Fallen Knight and then I think a Congregate. He was only able to get like 15 points on the board. And he's like, well, this is embarrassing for you.
Yeah, it was, I always try to, like, give love to, like, other people's decks, but I know, like, a lot of people, like, net decks, so you don't know, like, whose concept is who, but, like, his triple Deathwish and Cantus, that was so much fun. That's such a fun deck. I actually took, the triple out of it, because it just never worked for me, so I just go with the double, you know? I feel like I do better with, I'm trying to remember what card I switched out for it, I don't remember, but I think it was, trigger all Death Wish abilities on the board. I forgot what card that is.
We missed, right? No, Ritual Sacrifice, I think.
That what that is? Yeah. So I moved a card out for that, and I've had more fun with it that way, so.
Yeah, most people use that card. They get all the Night Wraiths on the board, and they just fill the opponent's board with rats.
Yeah.
So it's nice to, like, I love seeing cards that are only, like, you generally see them, like, used for one thing, and then but like people use them for something else. Like it's not, like I've never seen Ritual Sacrifice played for anything but Night Wraith. So it's like it's really entertaining for me to watch and play against. Like when it's somebody uses it for something that's not meta. Yeah.
I've actually seen people combo that with Maruna or Manicores, which is also pretty fun. But like you also have to make sure that you're not spawning rats on your board or opponent's board, and then Manicore plays for nothing basically.
Yeah, Maruna plays for, like, nothing, right? Because that's seize a unit with four or less power. You'd just be seizing a bunch of fucking rats.
Five-point
like,
Maruna.
Yeah, you obviously definitely would want to use something like that, like, early, not late, I guess.
Yeah.
What's the other thing that I've seen recently? So I have been seeing that people are using... what's this card? See, where is it at? Oh, the Gurney deck. So people are using Gurney again, and they're just making a big Thrive Point Slander. It's been getting a lot of popularity again.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. The monster, the fruit ability.
Yeah, Thrive.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
The fruits of Yuzgith, yeah.
They're using that with what?
So they're basically making, like, okay, so they're spawning fruits of Yuzgith, right?
Yeah.
The Gurney fruit, and then they're just playing griffins to destroy it. So, Griffin has that ability where it destroys itself if there's not a unit on the row.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just playing like 10-point ghouls for massive, leads potentially.
Yeah, and remind then, me of what's his name? Was Ace of Plays big dummy deck? It's just huge cards, just point slam like crazy.
Yeah, and then then they're running larvas along with. Neckers, and then they're also running what's that other Thrive unit? Bruxa?
Yeah.
And then they're just literally just Thrive curving like the entire time. Like I played it earlier, I was able to drop like 70 points in a round two just as a bleed.
Yeah, those Thrive points can really sneak up on you. I was streaming before this, and I played against that deck maybe like 3 or 4 times, and like I was like, oh yeah, I'm in the lead, I have like comfortable 15 point lead. Yeah. They drop Goliath and it's like, well, there went that, like
the lead.
So yeah, that really can sneak up on you if you let it get out of control.
Yeah, that's the thing with Thrive, is like it's such a simple mechanic and people say it's kind of like a dumb faction in that realm, but like if you let Thrive stay on the board for too long, those bronzes, man, they get completely out of control. You see that a lot with some of the Scoia'tael stuff too. You gotta deal with the stuff quick. That's what we keep referring to engines, right? You gotta be able to deal with engines. They might not look like a big deal in the beginning, but you let them go on there for 5 or 6 turns, the value is just crazy.
Yeah, that's where like cards like Heatwave, Geralt of Rivia, Yurden, even like it's all like some people like I believe I was on Reddit and I saw one of the comments where it's like the Geralt cards are like for the provision cost they're not worth it, and it's like yeah, but like there are some games where like it all comes down to Yurden or it all comes down to Igni. So I don't know, I feel like if you're playing against somebody like you're just doing a friendly match, like those, I would definitely throw those in there. Those are game savers and can quickly turn the board.
That reminds me of a viewer battle I was watching that Trinet had. I think it was the night. It was definitely the night before. And he was playing against somebody who was running, I guess, like a artifact deck. And Trinet was running Congregate. And Trinet had, nothing but 5 stacked Zealots, and then all of a sudden Igni comes down and hits him for like a 50-point Igni. It was so great. Oh, it was hilarious. And the guy ended up actually winning because he had Igni, and then he also had Enslave, so he like stole his jocks before he could like put coins into it, and then I don't know, it was great. I don't know, it was funny. Just love getting memed on just like by the silly stuff.
Yeah. What are you guys hoping for to come up in the game soon? I mean, we talked about, do you guys want a different faction? Do you think there just needs to be another mechanic? Do you think, like with Veil, right? That was a mechanic that was introduced in Devotion. Do you think there needs to be more of that? Or do you think it just needs to be a more larger pool of cards? Or maybe even a different, game mode?
I mean, I think if the game truly just had more support for an archetype, we would definitely see a whole lot more ideas come out of, you know, people's brains. You know, like, there's the beauty of this game is people are still discovering new combos to this day, even with older cards. You know, we're starting to see that now. And then with the introduction of Master Mirror cards, you know, we're starting to see even more elaborate combos. But, like, if the game got more new cards, the game gets more new life, basically. People are going to figure ways out to make something work, you know. If there was truly something that could change the game, a new faction would do it. But for how long, you know, before we go back to the same state of, okay, now we have a new faction. We have to determine if it's playable, or does it get no love, you know?
So I actually kind of have a hot take on this, because I completely disagree that we should not have a new faction. And I have, like, reasons for this, and it's just my opinion. So if people disagree with me, it's whatever. I was watching, and I know other people agree with me on this, because I was watching somebody on Twitch, and I won't say who it is, but he's a pretty big streamer. And he actually got into, not really an argument with one of his viewers, but they posed the same question. They were like, hey, how would you feel about another new faction in the December expansion? And the guy was like, no, I hate it. And he's like, I actually hated the Syndicate expansion as well. And some of you might know who I'm talking about, but I really don't want to say who it was, because I don't want you to, like, harass him, anyone who's listening. But he was like, no, I hated the Syndicate faction. I hope they don't add any more, because it takes away cards that could be used for the Northern Realms, Skuytel, Nilfgaard, Skellige, like all the base factions. Like, what would you rather have? Cards devoted to, like, a new expansion? And let's say, like, the game puts in 80 cards to a new expansion and no cards towards the other ones. Or would you rather have 80 cards go to the factions that already exist? And I would rather have cards go to the factions that already exist. Like, I'm all for new archetypes, like more mages to Northern Realms, or, like, maybe some kind of, like, not really a soldier, but some kind of, like, warrior archetype to Nilfgaard. Like, I'm all for different subcategories, but, like, I feel like a new faction would just kind of, like, dilute the game, and it would just, like the cards would be spread too thin, because every expansion after that new one, you're going to have to include cards for the new faction, and it's just going to take away from all the others. You know what I mean? Like, that was his argument, and I definitely agree with him. So I hope with this new DLC we get more cards. I just think, and like, what is there, like, 6 factions already in Gwent? I don't think we need a 7th. Like, I feel like they should just focus. There's enough content in The Witcher to just focus on what we have now. But that's my opinion, and you can disagree with me, and I won't fight you.
I agree with you. I don't think we need a new faction, for sure. I've heard people talk about maybe that would help the game. I think you're right. It's just adding more cards, but I think more important, I think it's adding a subcategory, or whatever you want to call it, right? Like a keyword, like, you know, maybe, like you said, a different type of warrior. Maybe not that. Like, you know, you have spying and Veil, Devotion was a cool little thing, but I don't think they've really gotten the kick out of Devotion that thought they were going to get. But I think that makes a lot more sense in another faction, for sure. I think you're right. If we introduce another faction, it would just get become too much. Because then when you release cards, you have to release answers to all those cards, and then you have to move between all... I mean, just the amount of freaking... Yeah, it makes my head hurt.
Yeah, and there's always those cards where it's like, I have this idea for a card, but I don't know where... Like, I don't know if this is, like, a Syndicate card or this is a monster card. Like, I just don't know. That's what the neutrals are for. Like, the neutrals, like that's the reason they're there. It's the cards that may be a little weird, maybe not something playable, but, like, you don't need to add, like, a completely new faction for that stuff. Like, it's just too much. Like, we're asking a lot from CD Projekt Red developers for, hey, we want a 7th faction. It has to be completely different from all the other 6 factions. Oh, and we want cards for all the other 6 factions as well. At least in my opinion. It's asking a little much.
Yeah, that's a lot for sure.
I think there's another thing too that, you know, that we determined that this game is not going anywhere. Recently I read somewhere that I believe it was on the website for Playguents, or it was on their official Twitter, that they actually renewed their contract with the author of The Witcher. series for another 3 years. So that potentially means that not only are they allowed to use the license for the Witcher series for another 3 years, but they're allowed to include, you know, much more lore that he potentially brings out. Should he continue writing books, or, you know, there's a lot more that they can touch on that's going to give us new ideas to, you know, see come to life, basically. I think this is probably a hint at them also doing it for The Witcher 4. Like, they said that The Witcher 4 is in works, too, already.
I don't think there's any question in terms of, like, where the game's going to go. I know Netflix, when they released The Witcher, the season one, and you got to think, when you look at a pool of people, like, you know, who actually knew what The Witcher was. If you're a gamer, you know what The Witcher 3 was, right? I mean, that was one of the big games. I know plenty of people have never played it, though. A lot of people don't even know it was a book series. That show got the most views. I forgot what it was. It was in like a week or something like that. The most views ever by a show to ever air on Netflix. So, I mean, that right there shows you that they know the marketability with it. And, I mean, I would think he's going to start writing some more books, too, from what I'm being told. I think The Witcher 4 is probably way out of the realm of possibility right now.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely way down the road. I would say 2025 at minimum, yeah, before because, we see something like that.
We're still waiting on a Cyberpunk that's getting rumored to possibly be delayed again, which I think was just clickbait, to be honest with you.
I saw that. They were quick to defend that. They were like, nope, we're holding firm for the release date of December 10th. And then, you know, people were like, why would they go and drop $4 million to feature their Cyberpunk on Times Square for only 2 weeks? You know, that just means that they're going to definitely release it on December 10th. Like, nobody does that if the game is not ready. They're like, ah, I don't know. This is CDPR we're talking about. They're going to delay it again to, like, you know, spring of 2021 now.
Hey, CDPR is the perfectionist of video games. Like, oh, yeah. They're definitely, that makes me respect. Which I love. Them. Like, it's awesome. But they're definitely, it's like, it's ready when it's ready. Stop asking. Like, that's definitely their attitude.
They remind me. It's a tough comparison because Blizzard has gotten its own hate over the years, especially with the Diablo mobile they were trying to push on everybody. But Blizzard is the same way. They are, the game comes out when it comes out. They don't care if you're ready for it, if you want to play it. You know, they do not care. And you even see it, like, with Valve. They don't want to release Half-Life because they don't want to make it. You know, they're not exactly making their games. I mean, it's a hard way to say they're not making it for the players. You know, I get that. But at the same time, they're going to make a product they're confident that people want to play. They want to make sure it's ready because you get people going crazy over, you know, Ubisoft releasing broken Assassin's Creed games. And that's like, well, do you want the game early broken or do you want the game completely polished and ready to play? You know?
Yeah, and that's, and you know, like, just like how you were touched on, you were like, I don't think games need day one patches. And then you saw yesterday, it's like, oh, the game needs a lot of optimization still. There's still so many little things in there.
Which is so funny because it's let's be honest with ourselves, it's just a rehash. It's literally just taking, Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla are all built on the exact same engine. It's literally the exact, I might like to say it's the exact same game, but Assassin's Creed's, I mean, they just build off a different type of history. So where's the issue here with the game needing day one patches? I don't know.
I mean, I was looking into some stuff while Kyle was asking me. He was like, hey, so what can I expect from this game? He's like, you know, he was cosplayed out. I don't know if you guys saw him today, but he had the full Norse makeup going on like he was nice. From Braveheart. It was nuts. His beard all blended and everything. I was like, dude, you went all out for this game. And he was like, hell yeah, dude. And I was looking into some stuff for him. Apparently, and like I said, this has already been confirmed by, you know, the number achievers in games. But Valhalla's map is 140 square miles. That is nuts. Like, it is literally the biggest map game that they've ever come out with. And, like, even Odyssey, which I thought was massive, is only 10. It's technically, I think they said Odyssey's map is only 90 square miles. So that just shows just how big Valhalla is. It has 6 playable areas, I think, that are all significant in size. They're not, like, you know, small little islands. They actually have their own depth to them. Like, they feel, you feel like they're their own game world in a sense.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because I know Cyberpunk is smaller than The Witcher 3. So, as scope, size, and scale is incredibly important, it's, you know, does the atmosphere and does the game hold up against all those places? And from some of the reviews I'm hearing, the beginning is just fantastic out the gate. Lore's, you know, and then like 15, 20 hours into the game, it's just repetitive. I'm hoping that's not the case, but yeah.
So. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's also like, you hope the map isn't set up so that, like, take The Witcher 1, for example, the way they, I don't know if you guys have played that, but the way they set up the map, there was a lot of backtracking. So, like, you go to a place and you'd have to literally, like, you had to follow the same route back on the map. Like, it wasn't, like, circular and you could cut across. It was like you took one way out there and you had to go back, and you had to do that several different times throughout the story arc. And I also hope Cyberpunk isn't like that as well. Like, I hope, like, the map design is set up so that you can explore, but it's not you just taking the same road or the same path throughout the entire game, because that, I feel like that makes it kind of boring for me as well.
Yeah,
I think they said Cyberpunk's map size was just a tad bit bigger than, like, GTA's Los Santos. I mean, we all know Los Santos wasn't that big, but, like, in most of the map size that came from GTA 5 was just, like, the country, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, the outer region of it. The Los Santos was just a small portion, but, like, if it's just about the same size as that, I mean, could we see, like, you know, what's the word, like, for constant backtracking as well in Cyberpunk? Who knows? I mean,
we'll see.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's, I'm planning on getting it when it's released. I haven't I don't pre-order games, but I'm planning on a couple days, either the day of or a couple days later, I'll be getting Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I don't pre-order really anymore either, unless it's got some crazy deal, but, like, the amount of times it's been pushed back, I'm just like, whatever, when it comes out, I'll just buy it the couple hours before, you know, the preload time, and just do it then. But yeah, so you guys got anything else? We're at the 35 minute mark. Anything you want to say to the listeners?
Time went by fast.
Time does go by fast.
It really does. Like, I feel like when we're talking, we're just talking. We're not really, like, thinking about what to say. You know, we're just shooting shit, basically.
I just want to say thanks, because we talked about earlier, I did get affiliates, so I know some people watch this podcast watch me. I just want to say thank you to everyone. This was a hobby for me when I was in quarantine due to COVID, and it's kind of turned into a little, not job, but it's just something I like to do, and it helps me relax. So I just want to say I appreciate everyone who's been supporting me throughout the last couple months.
Absolutely, and congrats. You know, JConrad1337 is his channel, so we'll put his information in the podcast info as well, so you can go say congratulations to him as well if you haven't watched him before. Ezra, you got anything?
I mean, like I said, I haven't been streaming personally myself lately. I'm the guy that sits in the back and likes to support all of our members. But, you know, I kind of do want to get back into it and consistently stream even more. Like I said, I haven't even been playing Gwent that much lately. I've been playing a lot of single-player games. I'm thinking about maybe possibly switching to more variety-based games instead of it just being Gwent-focused consistently, you know? I really want to get Valhalla. I don't think that'll be happening anytime soon, but that may be a game I may stream down the road. And then also, I did want to get into playing that. It's an ore-based game. I don't know, Dark, if you've seen it. The Man of Medan, The Little Hope.
Yeah.
Dark Pictures. Yeah.
Lady B 420, someone that I follow just because I love her content. She's playing that. It looks really good. I have to sit back and watch it, like, longer sometime. But, like, yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it's like somebody wants to get it, and they're going to invite me to play it. So that'd be fun.
Yeah, otherwise than that, guys, thank you so much for joining. If you want to be a part of the team or join in the content creation, you know where to find us. Barkeeps@redania.com. Jump in our Discord or just reach a shout-out to one of us. But, guys, thank you so much. You all have a wonderful night, and go play some Gwent. Talk to you later.
Yeah, talk to you later. Thank you.